tonight on Arena. Anda Walsh on Touch, his new short film for the RTE Illuminations project, and Jess Fahey and Sarah Wilson on How to Read a Painting. Double 51 is the text. You can tweet the programme at RTE Arena. Playwright and screenwriter Enda Walsh has brought together a great group of creative collaborators for his contribution to RTE's Illuminations project, which offers artists a platform for their creative response to the pandemic. In the short film Touch, Enda explores what it is to be alone and to be isolated, and the role played by our own mishmash of memories at a time like this. The piece is performed, voiced by Rosalind Lenihan, with visuals from Jack Phelan and music score from Irene Buckley. And delighted to have Enda Walsh join us from London. I presume you're in this evening. Enda, how has lockdown been?
Oh, it's well, personally, it's been I've been finding it really difficult, I must say. I wasn't too good. I had a commission for Netflix that finished, I think, in April, and then all my sort of theatre work was obviously sort of cancelled. And but yeah, I'm ashamed to say I've just found it really, really difficult.
It's funny because a lot of writers, ironically, have said that to me, because we often think, oh, well, for sure, writers, this is perfect. They're well used to the isolation of the lonely garret, et cetera, et cetera. But seemingly not.
I think sort of the thing about it is, I think you do, you write for an audience. I mean, I'm a playwright and I've written a couple of sort of films, and you do write for an audience. And when the audience aren't there, it's a bit like, well, actually, what is my purpose? I mean, things began to sort of change as the months went on last year. And by the end of the year, I felt as if, and the noises from producers about this year, no matter what has to happen is, you know, the work has to go on, and you know, whether it's sort of it's streamed live every night, and there's a certain amount of people are allowed in the auditorium. They need to sort of, you know, create the work. So coming into this year, I felt as if, well, fine, you know, I'll get to do that.
And then this Thank year God. Started. Let's say nothing more about that.
This year started.
Let's keep our fingers crossed that it can only get better from here on in. But yeah. The Illuminations project then, when it came along, and this idea of responding to the pandemic in some way, that must have been a welcome idea.
It was, and I was approached by Teresa Kelly and Vanessa Gilday, and the response was to this year, and I wanted to write something, I guess. I wanted to make something about people in care and old people in care, and this sort of lack of touch and all of that. And I found that just really sort of cripplingly sort of sad. And in writing it, I ended up very quickly just writing about my mom, who died of Alzheimer's a few years ago. And the piece has become this, I guess, this conversation. It's a mix of my memories and my mother's memories. And so it's like just deeply personal and filled with family memories and all the rest.
Yeah, because I was wondering, when I saw it first, I thought, dedicated to Maeve Walsh, there's obviously a relationship there. So it is your mum that you were talking about in that dedication. So, and Rosalind Lenihan then is the voice that we hear. Because again, I had wondered, oh, is the Donegal accent, did yourself and Rosalind discuss that? Or is there a Donegal connection for your mother?
I think it's sort of a Donegal connection for Rosalind, obviously, and I worked with Rosalind before, and you know, and I wanted her to write it, and so I pitched it for a combination of, you know, you're always trying to ask your collaborators to reach into their past and to sort of drag out, you know, pieces of them, and so there is as much of, you know, I think in the sort of sensibility of how sort of Rosalind went at it and her memories, I guess, of her own, you know, father and, you know, and parents and their marriage and her placement in her sort of family of sisters and all the rest. So it became Donegal for that reason.
Yeah, I guess that's how the personal becomes something else totally, where it starts with you, your mother, it expands into Rosaline and her parents, and then
I think particularly sort of Sean, you know sort of what it's like, but particularly I think this year and the way we're making work at the moment, where we're individually sort of, you know, we're not in a room creating it together, we're all in our little sort of pods creating it, so it's I felt as if, and in the making of it, I had very, very minimal sort of direction with my collaborators, Jack Phelan, who did the visuals, and Irene Buckley. There were really just small conversations, and really it was for them to meditate on what I was sort of suggesting in the script, and allow people in their own way just fold in back into their own lives and see what came out. So it was a really strange process in that it was very, very little direction. It came in, we stuck it together, and there it was.
Well, let's have a listen to a section from the opening of the film, in fact, and the voice that we will hear here, Rosaline Linehan.
Mammy's hands are like a wall, where noises ebb to near nothing. The murmur of the town is distant. The slow breeze stands at the window, asking her, I think. It looks in at her and me. It lightens and marks us, that breeze. And it begins. The kitchen table, and unseated I am, cause still baby-sized, and passed between the eaters and talkers. A landscape of spuds and butter beneath me. Thank God. The front room then, and held by my daddy on his lap. Work tired, and the bitter smell of cigarettes on his seat and on him. The itchiness of his day. The worry of sons and daughters to keep. I curl into him and wish him rest.
So an opening sequence there from Enda Walsh's short film. Even just listening to it there, I have to tell you, I watched it about three or four times, one after another today, because I found it totally mesmerising and brought me on this beautiful journey. As you say, I suddenly, you know, I don't have a background in Donegal, but all of the things that were expressed, you know, on my daddy on his lap, the itchiness of his day, you know, this idea of being at a big table where the grown-ups were doing something you could barely see over the top of it, all that type of thing. It's amazing how universal these tiny little details are.
Yeah, they are. I mean, they certainly are. And I mean, all you have to do is just, I mean, you concentrate on your own child and you throw it out there and you feel as if we have, you know, I mean, we've covered a lot of ground, you know, as people, as children. And it became a sort of strange thing, I must say, Sean, of like, my mom had Alzheimer's for 7 years, but it was a way in actually sort of writing it and of connecting with them and allowing that person actually sort of, accept their sort of death and all of that, but in a really sort of very sad sort of nostalgic way. And and the hope that actually sort of her memories and her death were possibly that, I think.
Yeah, well, it certainly keeps her very alive in terms of those memories. And they don't have to be exactly what she went through or anything like that, because I guess that's not what you're getting at. It's not, let me tell my mother's life story. That's not what you're doing.
I think so many of them are mine as well. So I can hear a lot of, you know, me in there and all the rest.
I don't know whether it's necessity being the mother of invention, but, you know, Rosaline working by herself and doing the voice recording, I think it was her son Connor who actually did the recording with her. He's involved in the music world, so it would make sense that he'd be able to do that side of things. Irene doing her side of things totally separate from all of that, and Jack Phelan, Irene Buckley, the composer, Jack Phelan. It's amazing how despite the fact that things were so disparate in the making of them,
yeah,
they don't sound like that or look like that at all.
No, they don't. They don't. I mean, it was a real sort of lesson to myself, I must say, because, you know, when I'm in the room and I'm directing the work in the room, it's you have to sort of remind yourself that actually you have to allow your collaborators in. You have to allow them create. It's the reason why you do it. And I think back to my own work and I think, oh my God, I better be careful now. Maybe I'm actually sort of, I'm standing on a lot of feet here or sort of talking over people. You have to sort of allow them into the work. And that's why I wanted to, I mean, I in a million years couldn't come up with the sort of visuals that Jack decided. A conversation was had about how we remember the past and nostalgia because it's given to us by film in sort of soft focus or black and white, these sort of flashbacks. And Jack was actually sort of, he came up with probably a true representation of actually what our memories are like, that they come in a very abstracted, broken, splintered way.
Yeah, it almost starts like, I'm not going to do justice to the visuals, but it starts as if it's some kind of a journey down a corridor, which could be in an institution, given what you were talking about, you know, in terms of your mother having Alzheimer's and care homes, etc. But very, very soon, it becomes this kind of fantastical, magically lit kind of world where anything is possible. But all the time, a sense of this constant, like a big, long tracking shot that goes on for the, whatever it is, 7.5 or 8 minutes of the piece.
I know. It's I think that was my one note to him. I think there's a lot of corridors in this piece, and that's all I had. That's all I brought to the table. But that just seemed to me like a good starting point, and you know, and that we're traveling up, you know, through it.
Yeah, and similarly with Irene Buckley's score to the piece as well.
Yeah.
And again, I don't mean this as any disservice to Irene, because obviously within a score, the moments of silence are as important as the moments of non-silence, let us say. There is a point in the score when the music just fades to nothing.
Yeah.
And it's
I know.
Go ahead.
I know she's an absolutely huge talent. I mean, I've been a fan of hers for a couple of years, and she's young still for a composer, but it's really, really exciting that I think she's going to have a huge career in film, I must say, if she wants to have that, because her sensibility around the sort of subject is really quite beautiful. And
again,
they create it. I mean, when people sort of see it, it feels sort of large and spatial and huge, and yet the content of what the character is saying, a lot of it is very sort of small and personal, and something that I think we know as people, these tiny, tiny memories that just sort of pop up in our lives.
It doesn't sound as if the lockdown was so bad after all now when we get this far into the conversation, does it?
Well, listen. I said to sort of Teresa and Vanessa, this was really wonderful therapy for me, and I should have really given them a lot of money for it, so I'm very happy.
Yeah. Well, no, it certainly is a beautiful piece and available on the RTE website. I mean, the Illumination, if you go on looking for Illuminations, you'll find it there. But there has other stuff been happening. Are we going to get Medicine? This is the new play. You've been working on that. Is that pretty much complete at this stage? Are we going to get a production? Or dare you say that without crossing every finger you have?
I think we are. I think no matter what, I think the sort of deal is that we're going to sort of make it. I mean, it's playing in Galway and then going to the International Edinburgh Festival, and then there's talk of New York and all the rest. And I think we're gonna make it with Donald Gleeson and Aoife Duffin and Claire Barrett. Yeah.
So that's written and done at this point.
Yes.
What? Yeah. Where do you see? You know, I know this is in some ways it's an impossible question. How long is a piece of string? But if we can't get to a point where we can get back into theatres, if we're still in some kind of very limited aspect to things, do we have to rethink everything we thought about theatre, or do we just have to be patient?
I think we have to be, I do think we have to be patient. And I think, you know, I mean, things mightn't get back to sort of, you know, how things were this year. It might be sort of next year by the time. And I think, you know, but I think people are they're wanting to see, and they're buying these sort of streamed, you know, performances, and they're wanting to see the arts continue. They care about it and all the rest, and you know, people will sort of like. I mean, we did a staged performance. It was only a reading book in hand, but on its feet of Medicine in the Galway Arts Festival this year. We were so lucky to do it for about sort of 50, 75 people in a room. And that seemed like enough. It seemed like, for me, it was enough. It was, but also the audience just adored the fact that here they were, this sort of like, it was live, it was wild, it was on its feet, and, you know, it was, I don't know. I do think, yeah, we have to be sort of patient with ourselves and not to be sort of too hard. And when it comes to actually sort of making the work that the theatre is, I think they need to sort of respond by with new work and with new writing. And, you know, I mean, theatre is, I think in Ireland, is very sort of, I find it, you know, in really, really good shape. And it'd be terrible shame to sort of go back. But I think that, you know, to just, you know, the canon and the old work and all that type of thing. But I think artistic directors get that. You know, we come out of this sort of pandemic, we want to sort of respond, maybe not sort of directly about it and have plays about the pandemic and da-da-da-da-da. But there's something, I mean, playwrights and theatre makers will make work, you know, that captures some sort of wild energy or sort of our expression of, you know, something else, or will respond to that in a sort of, you know, opaque, sort of oblique way or whatever. Or maybe talk about it directly. But they need to actually sort of produce the sort of the new work, which I think they will.
Yeah, I suppose in the midst of all of that, we have the difficulty of, for particularly those who are involved at the coalface, if you like, who are standing out on the stages night after night. There is no stage to go and stand out on night after night. What kind of support, you know, from talking to actors, from talking to technicians who work behind the scenes, and there's nothing for them to be a technician on at the moment. What sort of supports do you hear them looking for, and what sort of supports do you think would help them in this current situation?
Well, I can only talk from it. So the team and the large sort of team that I work with and that we've made work with, and, you know, and they've got sort of families to, you know, keep and all that. So they're finding employment anywhere. Mm. I mean, absolutely anywhere to sort of keep things going. And they all sort of, you know, they work for themselves, and there's no sort of funding over here, you know, to help them in Britain anyway, you know, they're all sort of self-employed.
Yeah, you can't furlough yourself, I presume.
You cannot furlough yourself. So, I mean, you know, you're eating into your savings, but also, the team I know, I mean, they're going off and just getting work anywhere, any sort of work, and knowing and hoping, you know, that actually sort of things will begin to... But they're like international sort of, you know, creators of work. So there's theatre opening up in, you know, different places, and hopefully they'll get work there and da-da-da-da. But we just got to sort of hold our nerve and, you know, and go, it will sort of, and try and get by and go, you know, well... You know, it's what we've sort of, it's our work and it's our life, and it will come, you know, and it will sort of, you know, it will happen again, and people will want to see sort of, I mean, I miss bands and, you know, theatre and dance and all that type of thing. It reminds me of, you know, that people are capable of doing sort of like extraordinary things and expressing things in such amazing ways. So, you know, it's all of that. You're right. We need to be sort of patient and sort of, and not too hard on ourselves. Yeah. Is the thing.
Well, okay. Listen, I want to finish up with a track from Lazarus, the musical you worked on with David Bowie,
great.
Obviously back in 2015. It was put out online, wasn't it, for around the time of the birthday was January the 8th, of course, and the anniversary of the death, January the 10th. You were quite happy for it to be up there online. This is an online version of the stage musical.
Yeah, I was. I was sort of. I was asked about a month ago about it, and I said yes, not thinking about it. But then I realized that, you know, tens of thousands of people have watched it, and it's great. I mean, I must say, it's sort of it's shot and sounds, you know, brilliant. So I'm chuffed. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to finish up with the section then from Lazarus, where Heroes is performed. How would you lead us into this, Enda?
It's another release and it's another death, but it's a very sort of happy one, that's for sure. And
All right. Well, listen, lovely to speak with you, Enda. And I hope that...
Yeah, you too, Sean.
We'll be talking about something on a stage somewhere very soon, and that we can enjoy that conversation as much, certainly, as I have, and I'm sure the listeners have, with you over the last 20 minutes. Take care, Enda. All the best.
Thanks, Sean. Thanks.
And Walsh. And here is Heroes in that version from Enda's Lazarus.
Oh, we can be heroes just for one day.
The voices there of Michael C. Hall and as Thomas Jerome Newton singing Heroes from Lazarus, that Enda Walsh collaboration with David Bowie. And Enda Walsh speaking to us about his short film Touch, written and directed by Enda, starring Rosalind Linehan, the music of Irene Buckley, visuals of Jack Field. It can be found on the RTE Illuminations website.